This is Agriculture Today.
The U.S. Trade Representative, or USTR, has launched a Section 301 investigation into whether China has failed to honor its commitments under the 2020 Phase 1 trade agreement. The review will assess Beijing's follow-through on reforms in ag, intellectual property, technology transfer, and financial services, areas central to the deal's original intent. Jamison Greer is the ambassador and heads USTR, said the move underscores President Trump's determination to hold China to its commitments and protect American farmers, ranchers, and manufacturers. Now, the probe will also examine the impact of any noncompliance of U.S. commerce and whether additional enforcement steps are justified. Phase 1 agreement sought to expand Chinese purchases of U.S. goods while reducing non-tariff barriers, but officials say Beijing's follow-through has lagged despite years of engagement. USTR will accept public comments and hold a hearing as part of the process. Speaking of that, two new trade pacts with Malaysia and Cambodia poised to boost U.S. ag exports, creating fresh market opportunities for everything from rice and ethanol to poultry and pork. Agreements mark another step in the Trump administration's reciprocal trade push aimed at reducing tariffs and streamlining barriers across Southeast Asia. Malaysia's deal grants preferential access for U.S. farm goods, including dairy, horticulture, pork, poultry, and processed foods, while committing to accept U.S. sanitary certificates and simplifying facility registrations. Cambodia goes further, eliminating tariffs on 100% of U.S. industrial and ag imports, giving American grains, oil, seeds, and meats full tariff-free entry for the first time. Both countries pledged to address non-tariff barriers and to align their standards with U.S. regulations. Ag analysts say the deals could strengthen farm incomes in export-heavy regions like the Midwest, Delta, and Pacific Northwest, while supporting new trade channels for ethanol, soy meal, and livestock products. And U.S. grain export inspections dropped to 2.55 million metric tons for the week that ended October 23rd. It's down about 25% from the previous week, well below the same week a year ago, and that's according to USDA's Federal Grain Inspection Service. Yeah, this report continues to come out weekly from USDA. Now, corn remained the top mover, 1.19 million tons, declined from 1.32 last week, though cumulative shipments since September 1st, now 10.5 million tons, well ahead of last year's pace. Soybeans saw the steepest week-to-week drop, falling to 1.06 million tons versus the 1.59 million the week before, and less than half that was recorded during the same week last year. Wheat exports, 259,000 tons. It's about half of last week's volume. By destination, key soybean buyers include Egypt, Mexico, Germany, Italy, and several Southeast Asian markets, including Vietnam, Thailand, and Indonesia. Corn shipments primarily through the Mississippi River system, with Mexico, Colombia, and Spain leading the destinations. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
And we had a phenomenal day here in Japan with a momentous trade deal. We made a big, big, beautiful trade deal for both countries.
Speaking in front of business leaders in Tokyo, President Donald Trump.
To the best of my knowledge, I think Japan also had their best stock market day ever. So your new prime minister is doing very well. First female, first woman prime minister. And I said, you already hit the highest stock price you've ever hit. So she's very happy. And we spent the whole day together. It was beautiful. And she's great. We went out to the USS George Washington, the SS George Washington. It was really great. The sailors and a lot of others, we had a lot of people, a lot of military people were there. But boy, that was some scene. It was incredible. You wouldn't believe that a ship could hold that many people. But I just want to say that she is a delight, and she's going to be, I think she's going to be a great prime minister. Really do. I got to know her pretty well in a short period of time. She was a very good friend and ally of Shinzo Abe, who is a friend of mine, one of my best friends in terms of this world, the world of nations. And he was a great man, and he got, unfortunately, what happened to him was sad, very sad. But he was a great leader, and we miss him very much. But a fantastic tribute to the U.S.-Japanese alliance aboard that ship today. USS, think of it, USS George Washington. It's the only ship that just doesn't come back to the United States. It stays here. And it's very proud. This is our largest military contingent, Pete, I think like 66,000 soldiers, Navy and others. So this was a fantastic day. The level of excitement and enthusiasm, it's so easy. People say, how do you speak in front of that many people and enjoy it? When you have so much love, there's such love. There was such love on that ship. It's really easy to do. They don't understand that. It's easy to do. But tonight I'm more confident than ever that the friendship between the United States and Japan is strong as it can be. And it's thriving, it's prosperous, and it'll soon be, I think, greater than ever before. And we had four great years. You know, we had the greatest economy in the history of our country, but we're blowing it away this time, to be honest with you. We had four great years. As you know, we had the one-year deduction. I call it the one-year little deduction, like you can deduct every single thing. Nobody ever thought that was possible. That beats 38 years, right? But now we did it for a period of 10 years instead of a period of 1 year. It's much stronger. And you can deduct structures. And for the people, you have no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. Think of it, no tax on overtime for your workers, and it really covers everything, the great, big, beautiful bill. We got everything done. I said, let's get it all done. A lot of people want to do it little, small pieces, like 12 of them. I said, put it all into one bill, and if we get it done, we're done for 4 years. We don't need anything more from Congress in terms of that, right, Scott? We got it all done. It was a little risky, but because if we didn't get it done, I don't know, who knows what would happen with these radical left lunatics that we have to deal with. But we got it all done, and now we're set, and you're set. The investment in this country is set. You have all that you want. The people in this room are the living embodiment of the U.S.-Japanese economic partnership that together we're taking to even greater heights. It will, I think, never be like it is now, but it'll get even better.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
We saw that negotiators from both sides, China and United States, met over the weekend in Malaysia and came away from those meetings with a framework deal.
Artland Suderman with StoneX.
Now, what's in the supposed framework that we're looking at? First of all, China agreed to suspend its restrictions on rare earth minerals and magnets for 1 year. Now, that gives the United States time to continue to try to expand its sources of rare earth minerals and magnets that it needs. I highly doubt, and nor do I expect there to be any specification of, but I highly doubt that China is going to allow export of rare earth minerals and magnets that could be used at military to build military, what do we say, weapons, those high-tech defense weapons that we use in today's modern warfare. I highly doubt that. I think China will continue to restrict that, leaving us vulnerable in other countries as well. Now, many other countries have also spoken over the weekend about their concern. In fact, spoke directly to China even. This has been a big diplomatic weekend here with country leaders meeting and talking with one another in a lot of developments. But we weren't the only ones confronting China on this rare earth minerals situation. But they have suspended for a year. That allows our manufacturing of products to continue to go forward. The United States has said it will not move forward with its additional 100% tariffs. China made some agreements on what they would do to restrict fentanyl and its components from coming to the United States. A lot of factors going into this. And I think that's critical. Now, what I think is most interesting out of this, and if you go back to my videos from last week, I commented about the fourth plenum meeting in China that was really occupying Chinese leadership last week. This is the political convention of the Chinese Communist Party. And I said, if President Xi comes out of that feeling like he has a strong support base, power base within China, that he might hold up stronger to President Trump and not give in, trying to outlast him. On the other hand, if he senses some weakness in the power base at home, he may work for a quick deal with President Trump to calm the international waters in order to be able to focus on problems at home. And lo and behold, what have we seen come out of those meetings now? A quick desire to have a deal with the United States. Now, it's not a done deal. It could still fall apart before they meet. President Xi and President Trump meet on Thursday. But I find that fascinating that how quickly they're moving for a deal right now, even before we hear from the Supreme Court on the ruling on Trump's tariffs and the legality of Trump's tariffs. And I think that speaks volumes.
So what's riding on a possible China deal?
I think this week is going to be pivotal overall. But putting it all together, if in fact this framework does go through, that certainly bodes better for the ag economy going forward and the components of the ag economy. It bodes better for the U.S. economy because we know there were a lot of stimulus measures in that one big beautiful bill passed this summer that to encourage companies to expand. And they've been holding back on those expansion plans until uncertainty is reduced. All of this could fall apart in the next week. All of it could fall apart. But there is real optimism this morning, and that's why the markets are higher.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
People from all over the planet are now discovering that the United States is hot, and it's also a place where you can really do business.
Speaking to members of the business community in Japan, President Donald Trump.
You know, in my first term, we had an LNG plant, two of them. They were under approval. One was 14 years and one was 16 years. And actually, one of them was a big Japanese investor group. And they couldn't get their approvals. It was never going to happen. I come in. I didn't know anything about it, but I came in. I heard about it. And so they were 14 years, I think in 16 years. And they were just about, they gave up, essentially. And I got one done in one day. And the other one, it took me, I didn't do as well. It took me 3 days to get it done. And they were under construction in less than a week. And they're up now, and they're doing phenomenally well. You know, in Louisiana, actually, two of them right on the coast. And people said, how'd you do that? I said, I have no idea, but I get things done. There's no better place on earth to invest and grow your business than the United States. And a lot of the environmental nonsense, and I'm a big environmentalist in a sense. Like, I want clean air, I want clean water. But we're going to make it great for our workers and our economy. We're not going to take, honestly, when I say 5 years, much longer than 5 years to do things. I actually said to some of our people, I said, look, you have, on big plants, you have 2 weeks on oil and gas to get the approvals. And if you go nuclear, 3 weeks for nuclear. You know, nuclear with Westinghouse is here today, and they've done great. They've really, they had a difficult problem a few years ago. They have become very hot, Westinghouse. They're doing a lot of work in the United States. We're doing a lot of nuclear now. Nuclear now is safe and it's inexpensive. It's great energy now. I was with nuclear, but I didn't love certain aspects of it. Today it's so different, and it really is a safe, great way to go. A lot of people are going that way.
Also talked about tariffs and reducing inflation.
Since the election, we've secured all of that money coming in, and we have a lot more money coming in. And again, I mentioned SoftBank, but JERA, JCB, Toyota, Mitsubishi, Hitachi, Honda, they're all coming into the United States. We have a lot of car plants opening up because of tariffs. They don't want to pay tariffs, and they come in. And frankly, Japan is sponsoring many of them because that way you don't have to pay the tariffs. Without the tariffs, I mean, tariffs are about national security, and we're making a lot of money. We're going to start paying down debt very soon. We have a lot of debt because we didn't know what the hell we were doing as a country. GDP growth in the second quarter was an amazing almost 4%. Nobody thought. They thought it was going to be 2%. They had no idea. Just announced 4%, almost 4%. And then the next quarter, I don't know. I think it can go much higher. I think when we kick in, when these plants start to open, we're building many of them. And a lot of them are car plants, but, you know, you keep hearing about the AI, and that's obviously the biggest thing right now. And nobody's doing like we're, but we have a lot of other plants coming in, but a lot of car plants are coming in. They're coming in from other countries. And next quarter, I think you're going to see maybe 4%, maybe more. But when these plants start opening up, you're going to see numbers that are going to be shocking. Energy prices are down. Gasoline are down. Groceries are down, except for the beef, which I'll get down to. Our ranchers were, for 25 years, they did poorly. And I put tariffs on some. It was just too much. They couldn't compete. They were going out of business. And maybe they're doing too good now. But we want them to do well. But we have to get the beef prices down. And so that's, it's an easy problem to solve. But we'll always take care of our ranchers, too. And they were with me 100%.
It's Agriculture Today.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
If you look at what we're projecting now for USDA, ending stocks for row crop 316 million bushels, that it becomes the new crop balance sheet of beginning stocks. And if we plug in our yield from our customer survey at the 1st of October, which we will update a week from today, we're at 53.9 bushels per acre.
That's Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
Now, I have factored in 1.530 billion bushels, but if we use USDA's 1.685 billion, that's ending stocks at 300. With my export target, that's 457 million bushels. What about all this talk about China buying soybeans? There's been very little specificity right now of specifics given about how many soybeans they're going to buy, other than U.S. officials saying they're going to buy lots of soybeans. Frankly, all they need is about 10 million metric tons, around 367 million bushels, to close the gap ahead of when new crop Brazilian supplies will arrive here in February. So let's say they buy that 10 million metric tons here in the near term. That would really help us hit USDA's target of 1.685 billion bushels. So ending stocks would be much closer to that 300 million bushel level, or actually, because USDA hasn't updated for that stocks report, it would be closer to around 286 million bushels. That's a number that is adequate to meet demand, but leaves very little margin for error should South America have weather problems during the upcoming growing season, or should we have growing problems next summer in our growing season. What if it's more than that? Then you look over here in my right-hand column, you see, depending on how much more we start pulling that number down, and could open the door for rationing. I said could. In reality, once South American supplies that are already on the books start arriving in February, Chinese ports are going to be pretty full and clogged up with those boats coming from Brazil. So in all likelihood, beyond the 10 million metric tons, we would anticipate that the bulk of their purchases, if this happens, would be for the next marketing year, certainly later in the current marketing year, perhaps the next marketing year. So that could prove to be a disappointment. Now, if they take the 10 million metric tons, that would still leave us kind of snug, still provide some support for soybeans, but not necessarily a reason to rally unless we have some type of a weather event in South America, which would leave us vulnerable to. But it would look better for next year. It would help for an acreage shift from corn to soybeans and maybe several million acres as we go into next year's planting season here in the United States.
While we're focused on China, Suderman says,
another thing of note was President Lula of Brazil had a conversation with President Trump and came away from that saying that a deal is all but assured or guaranteed between the United States and Brazil to lower those 50% tariffs. That is a significant factor for the coffee market, for the beef market, if in fact that happens as well. We also saw President Trump meeting with other Southeast Asian countries, strengthening those ties as well. This was a big diplomatic meeting, a weekend for President Trump, and to re-strengthening some relationships with many of these countries that China has been trying to win their loyalty, shall we say.
It's Agriculture Today.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delinning. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delinning. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Fourth limit lower day in seven sessions on the feeder cattle. Quickly erased over $40, $45 across these futures since a week ago last Thursday. So really taking it here. It's all coming on comments from Trump, basically. Saying we need to get this price of cattle down, and I guess he said it, and pretty much every critter walking the earth right now is $450 cheaper than it was a short 10 days ago.
Zach Tindall is with Producers Livestock.
I think we're all kind of sitting here saying, well, the fundamentals haven't changed. They are changing now. The board's kind of leading us to that as far as calves and fat cattle. Everything's working lower now on the live sale part of it, the physical sale part of it. But lo and behold, boxed beef hasn't worked lower. So all these comments kind of started as an inflation, a way to fight inflation, I should say, or a way to try and get boxed beef down. You know, Trump said that boxed beef needs to come down, or the price of beef at the grocery store needs to come down, and that's what started all this. And cattle markets don't like it when they're on the headlines, whether it's beef, cattle, whatever it is. It seems to throw a wrench into the market, and we've definitely done that. So everything started with trying to get beef prices lower. You know, whatever happened in Washington last week, it sure feels to me like somebody looked crossways at President Trump and he didn't like it. Middle of the week, we had a tweet from him basically taking credit for the cattle prices and telling farmers they just need to realize that the consumer can't afford the product at this time, and they need to basically take one for everybody else and see their prices go down. And that's what really started this deal. Now Thursday night into Friday, Mexico said that they're going to meet with the U.S. or would like to meet, plan to meet, would like to get the border back open for feeder cattle imports. If it was up to Mexico, I think the border would have been open a long time ago. They never wanted the border closed to begin with. But anyway, those are the headlines. That's kind of what's pushing the market. We haven't had any concrete evidence of a meeting even being lined up, anything that's going to come out of that meeting, if the U.S. is even willing to talk or discuss potential plans. And for all we know, if this meeting does take place, you know, we get to the end of it, and the U.S. could definitely say, hey, we're not ready to open the border yet, and we have no timetable, and we're in the same boat we are. Not saying we add back everything on the feeder cattle that we've taken off here, but that's kind of what's pushed us here. And then boxed beef continues to work higher. So basically, the short and short of it is cattle are in the headlines. You've got a lot of fund managed money position that was long this feeder cattle market, and the best place to be is on the sidelines, and that's what we've seen. Basically, open limit lower today, expanded limit lower. Tomorrow we'll have expanded limits again. You know, we trade a little bit in the first couple minutes, and then with 15 minutes or a half hour, we're locked down the limit and don't leave that level on the feeder cattle. And I think that's just the funds getting out as quick as they can. But if we lower the price of a calf, is that going to make your meat at the grocery store any cheaper? My say is no, it's not that simple. But it doesn't matter if you're a hedge fund and you're watching this thing, and the president of the United States says, hey, beef's too high, we're going to get it to come down. I mean, past history, what he says usually gets done. And I think that's a lot of what's going on. You know, it's not going to mean the packer's going to lower their price to the retailer, and the retailer's going to lower their price to the consumer. It just shook up the market, and that's kind of where we are. Now, were we too high last week? Possibly. I mean, we pushed this thing probably further than we needed to. When feeder cattle went up $35 in a week or 10 days, and now we're kind of back down to that same level or a little bit below, but it's just a big movement that's taken everybody by surprise. I mean, we used to move $30 in the span of a month in the feeder cattle. You look back 5-6 years ago, well, we moved $30 higher and $45 lower in the span of two and a half weeks.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.